Good morning. Welcome to Community Church. We're glad you're here this morning. Whether you're a first-time guest with us this morning or whether you are a long-term member, we are delighted that you're here together to meet in the presence of God, to enjoy God and discover what God has to say. This morning, we're going to be talking about what it means to pray, how Jesus teaches us to pray and how to be people of prayer. And it's funny how God works, because this morning, as I was getting ready for the service, I got a text. Many of you know that Gail has been praying for a long time that a new set of lungs would come. Gail's actually at the hospital, the Lord willing, going to get a lung transplant today. And that is exciting. And so I think we should, before we begin our service, we should just pray for her. That it would happen, that the doctor's hands would be guided, that her body would be receptive, and just do what we're going to talk about this morning. So why don't we pray this morning? God, we thank that you are good and you are our holy and just, and Lord, in your time, you do exactly what is in your will. And Lord, we thank you that for which we've been praying for years for Gail has now come to fruition. And Lord, we pray that that surgery would happen today. That, Lord, that nothing would get in the way of that surgery happening. And, Lord, that you would just prepare her body as she is getting ready for that surgery. And that you would guide the doctor's hands, Lord, that her body would be receptive to those lungs. And that, Lord, as Gail texted me this morning, as she can't wait to be dancing around the church. And so, God, we just lay Gail in your hands this morning. We pray that you would keep her body healthy today, that you would protect it from any kind of infection. And, Lord, that as she waits, that, Lord, her spirit would be excitedly calm. And that, Lord, you would just watch over her. And that, Lord, as she has that surgery, Lord, the Lord willing, today, as she recovers, Lord, as she comes back to us, that, Lord, she can look forward to the moment of breathing without hardship. And, Lord, we just lay her in your hands and pray that you would watch over her and keep her safe. In your name we pray. Amen. We're going to worship, and we're going to do so together in the presence of God. And let's stand together as God greets us this morning. People of God, the one who hears everything that's on your heart, the one who responds to our prayers, the one who comes to meet you this morning has this to say: may grace and may mercy and may peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's welcome one another this morning. I'd like to invite you to follow along with me either on the screen or if you brought your own Bibles. In Luke chapter 11, where Jesus is teaching his disciples in how to pray. Here's what it reads. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has to come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me, the door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and get you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened." Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We were on our holidays not that long ago, and we went to Campbellford. And it was something I've never experienced before, but we went to a restaurant and we did what we always did. We sat down, we ordered, and then one of the kids volunteers to pray, and it just happened to be Jared. And I think it went something like this: Lord, thank you for this food and drink. Amen. It was nothing out of the ordinary. It was nothing extraordinary. We went on and we began to eat our meal. And then a lady who just happened to be a local church pastor came and said, it's nice to see that people today still pray. I didn't think a lot of it afterwards until I was getting ready for this morning. But I began to realize it really is uncommon, isn't it? The idea of prayer. Not only for those who don't know anything about God, but I think sometimes for those who know God. And so I think of her statement. It's nice to see people pray. But what do you say? How do you address God when you pray? Have you ever wondered that? Here's our text. Notice how it opens up. I don't know if you've ever caught it before. If you have your own Bibles, turn to it again. It says, after Jesus had been there, one of them, only one of them, had the courage to go to Jesus and say, would you teach us to pray? I mean, how do you expect people to pray unless someone teaches them? I learned how to drive a car because my dad and young drivers taught me how to drive a car, and some would say that I still don't know how to drive, but I learned how to drive. How do you learn how to study unless someone teaches you? How do you learn morals unless someone teaches you? I believe the same is true with prayer. So pray. To pray like what? Jesus had just come back praying. Now, you got to remember, these are good Jewish boys. They would have been taught their prayers. They would have been memorizing their prayers. So the question is, what did they see in Jesus? What did they hear from Jesus? What did they sense when Jesus came back from praying? I believe the disciples saw something different in Jesus. They sensed the fellowship. They sensed the belonging. They sensed the oneness with the Father. They sensed that when Jesus prayed, something was different. I want to show you a video clip that really asks the question, what does it mean to pray? To pray like what? It's from the 1928 version of Anne of Green Gables. Please catch the clip.
Here's your nightgown.
Thank you.
Get into it. Don't forget to say your prayers.
Do you think they're essential?
Why, what do you mean? Weren't you taught to say your prayers?
Well, I used to at the Asylum Sunday School, but weekdays I'm afraid I was just too tired.
Well, you will say your prayers while you're under my roof.
Why, of course, if you want me to.
Kneel down.
Now, that's the part I never could understand. Why must people kneel down to pray? Now, if I really wanted to pray, I'd go out into a great big field all alone. And then I'd look up at the sky, the beautiful sky that looks as if there was no end to its blueness. I'd imagine it was the dome of a great cathedral or the canopy of heaven. And then I'd just feel a prayer. What am I to say?
think you're big enough to pray for yourself. Just thank God for his blessings and ask him humbly for the things you want.
Well, I'll try and do my best. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank thee for everything. As for the things I especially want, they're so numerous it would take a great deal of time to name them. So I'll only mention the two most important. Please let me stay here. And please make me beautiful when I grow up. I remain yours respectfully, Aunt Shirley. There. Did I do all right?
Yes.
Said amen instead of yours respectfully, shouldn't I? Do you suppose it will make any difference?
No, I don't suppose it will.
How do you expect people to pray unless no one teaches them? When Jesus had finished praying, one of them came back and said, "Master, would you teach them or teach us to pray?" These boys would have had the Torah memorized. They would have been people that had prayed all of their life. They could have done maybe the prayers that we know. Lord, bless this food and drink for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Keep me safely through the night and wake me with the morning light. I mean, they could do those. But when Jesus prayed, something was different. It wasn't like the prayers that they made. And they wanted what Jesus had. They wanted to be able to pray like Jesus. They wanted to experience the presence of God. They wanted to experience the power of God. They wanted to pray and to come back as people who were different. I mean, Jesus, it was so important to him that he went and he prayed. I love what Mark 1:35 says. It says that very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and went to a solitary place where he prayed. One early theologian said that he prayed for an hour a day. And if he knew that he had lots of meetings during the day, he prayed for 3 hours. Prayer was that important to him that he just wanted to spend time with Jesus. So one pastor begins to explain it this way. As he tells a story of a man who came to faith in his congregation. And so he simply said, "Do you pray?" And the man was offended by it. And he said, "How do you spend time with God in prayer?" And it bothered him, And so finally he found something that he really liked, and it was a chair, and his window was beautiful, and his backyard was great, and so he angled it in such a way that he would sit down and he would spend vast amounts of time on that chair. It's there that he learned how to pray. It's there that he spent time with God. And then one day he invited the pastor and his wife over. And he said, "So how's the praying thing going?" He didn't even get a chance to say anything. His wife said, "It changed everything. When he began to pray, he became a different man. His countenance began to change. His relationship with God began to change. He became to be a man that was more joyful and more happy and more filled. He became a man of faith." Lord, teach us to pray. God invites you and I this morning in this passage to begin by simply spending time with him. And so Jesus says, we're not even in the text yet. He says, "Okay, I'll teach you how to pray. Here's how you do it. When you pray, pray, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.' So the question is, as you and I learn how to pray, why does Jesus teach a prayer that many of us can probably recite from memory? He does it because if you notice the flow of the text, it is all about utter and total dependence upon God. It is as if when we pray, we can't bring the answer ourselves. And so he says, when you come to pray, when you find that place where you can pray with me, come and spend time with me, because it all depends upon this. It's about spending time with Jesus rather than getting the answer. The answer is the benefit. When you pray, you get Jesus himself. You get the time with him. And then he begins to explain it in a language that we're going to come to in just a second, that they can understand it. He does it in what we call a parable. Now, here's what you need to understand, because context is everything. In the Middle Eastern culture, hospitality was everything. If you weren't hospitable, you not only insulted yourself, you actually insulted the whole community. Now, you're going to notice, as we read the text again, that this man has some unexpected company. Baking was usually done at the beginning of the week, so this is most likely at the end of the week. He's got nothing. And even though it's in the middle of the night, it's expected that he is going to provide for the person that comes to his door. Now, he doesn't have anything. So he goes to a friend, and he begins to knock on the door. Now, picture me knocking at your door at midnight. I can already hear you saying, it's after 10. Why don't you come back at 7 o'clock? You know, Sobeys is open a little bit later. I'm in bed. Go away. And here's what it says. The one on the inside says, don't bother me. The door is locked and my children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. Now, here's the interesting thing. He doesn't want his family to be woken up. He doesn't want to be bothered. But the very fact of this, because they all lived in one room, would have woken up everyone in his house anyways. And because their whole houses were so close together, this neighbor would have been woken up, and this neighbor would have been woken up. And yet he says, I'm not going to do it. And then he goes on in the parable and says, I tell you, though he will not get up and give you bread because he is a friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, seek. When you and I seek, it has the idea of not only asking, but going after. And you will find. Knock, it's the act of persevering. And the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, our answer says, expects an answer. And it says, receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks on the door will be opened to you. Have you ever wanted something so bad that you begin to knock on the door? You begin to knock on the door. You begin to knock on the door and ask God for what's on your heart. Carmen doesn't know this, but I prayed for 10 years. 10 years, because I knew I didn't have the gift to be single all of my life. For the right woman to come along. For 10 years. Man, talk about being persistent. I've been praying for the last over 15 years. Some of you know this, and I talk about this from time to time, but I have a brain tumor. And I've been praying. It started that I wouldn't die. Now my prayer is that it would go away. But it's still there. I don't know if it's ever going to grow, if it's ever going to affect me. But my prayer is still there, and it's still there, and it's still there, that God would answer the prayer. I think of the 50-year-old man who is persistent, and for 3 years, morning, noon, and night, he prays that he'd be able to find a job. And he begins to knock on the throne room of heaven for an answer. And we begin to see in our passage The story of the God who longs to meet with you, to hear your story, and to bless you. Because here it comes, is that God's not like the man who says, go away, it's midnight. I'm not going to give it to you. Because there is no midnight for God. God, as Scripture says, longs to bless His children. Who longs to give us the desires according to His will of our heart. And here's what it says. Which of you, fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So how do you pray? I think the first answer is we don't do something that's rote. That we just pull out of a closet, that we just say over and over and over again. What was different about Jesus than all of the prayers these good Jewish boys had memorized? Is that Jesus went to that place and he sat down and he had a relationship with his Father. See, it's not about the words. It's not about what we say, but it's about the relationship. It's about you and I sitting in the presence of Jesus and allowing him to do in us what he wants us to do apart from what he does outside of us. In our prayer and throughout Scripture, this is what you're going to hear. When you come to Jesus, pray. Spend time with Jesus. That's the essence of our prayer. And then be persistent. Scripture says it this way. Pray steadfastly. Pray unceasingly. Pray. And you know, we do it in a moment like this, like the man I've talked about earlier, who has this chair that looks out its window. But it's also, maybe, and it's something I need to do more of, when I'm at a stoplight with my eyes open, Lord, give me the patience to drive. Maybe it's on the subway where we say a prayer for a meeting that we're going to happen. It's a prayer that we do around the dinner table. It's a prayer that we do at bedtime. But it's something that we do over and over and over again. People of God, whatever is on your heart this morning that you are wrestling with, that you are struggling with, that you need God to intervene in, Scripture says, be persistent. Bring it to the throne room of heaven and ask for God according to His will to answer your prayer. Be open. Be honest. God knows what's on your heart. He knows what's on my heart. And as Jesus was with His Father, you can't tell me he didn't spend time with his Father. He didn't talk about, I'm sure he talked about, what was going on, the people he was dealing with, his frustration with his followers in not getting it and not following it. He shared the struggle of what was going to come his way. And here I want to answer a question that I believe our text is asking. What do you do when it appears as though God is silent? Because although it appears as though God is silent, He's not. The answer may be yes. The answer may be no. The answer may be wait. The answer may be not yet. But here's what I believe to be true. As we're waiting for those answers, and our text gets to it when it says ask and seek and knock, is that when you spend time in that place, whatever it is for you, that God does something within us. And maybe as we pray, as we wait for God to do what He's going to do, that's where we need to be. I think of a man who was having relationship problems with one of his friends. And he had been praying for a couple of years for this friendship to be restored. And then finally, a couple years later, he got that aha moment. And God said, do you see how you're adding to the problem? The relationship couldn't be fixed until God began to reveal within him what needed to be changed. I think of the guy who was looking to be married. And he had been praying for years and years and years until he finally got this answer. Are you okay with being in this place? even if I don't bring someone along your way? Are you content in me to fill you? To the church that prayed, God, we want to grow. We want to become a large church. What a good and a noble and a wonderful thing. But here's the answer that God gave to that church. Be the best church that ministers to seniors that you can be. Help them to grow in faith and love each other deeply. That was the answer they got. What do you plead the throne room of heaven for? What's so important to you that you would spend time alone with Jesus waiting for an answer? Let me give you a couple that are for me. I pray for my kids every day. I pray, first of all, that they would grow in faith. I pray that they would meet their milestones in life, mentally, emotionally, intellectually, physically. I pray that they would grow to become people of integrity. We, as a family, pray for you. We pray for our leadership, that our leadership in this church would be people of vision, people of faith, people of boldness, people that respond to the leading of the Spirit. Jesus says in our passage that when you pray, keep on knocking, because you don't know the moment when Jesus is going to answer that prayer. Ask, seek, and be ready for an answer. Let me finish the story of the guy that had this stool. He had learned how to pray. And he sat there, and one day he heard from God that he needed to quit his job. He had a huge job. He was making lots of money, and he was told that he needed to go help a pastor plant a church. And now the pastor says, I can't pay you anything, so you better go back and you better pray again, because I don't want to be responsible for you quitting your job. So he went and he prayed, and that was the answer. And he left, and he went to help start Willow Creek Community Church. And then he got a call again, about 10 years later, that he needed to move to Colorado and to help plant another church. They couldn't pay him. So he said, what are you going to do? He goes, well, I'm going to go back into marketing or advertising. And he did. And he made a bunch of money. And all of it went to support this new church plant. And then Bill got this call that this man who had learned how to pray was sick. And he was sick, and it spread very quickly, and he died. And so Bill went and did the funeral, and he asked his widow, what happened to the chair? She said, it still sits where it was, and it looks out the window. And our prayer is that our children would learn to love that chair and learn to pray like their dad did. And then we pray that our grandchildren would learn to love that chair and would learn to pray as God did. Jesus teaches us how to pray in our passage. He doesn't give us the formula, but he simply says, spend time in my presence. And here's what I hope you get this morning, and Scripture will affirm this, is that when you spend time with Jesus, it will change your life. And you will be a different person. And you can learn to pray like Jesus by simply spending time with him. Because prayer changes everything. So will you join me in becoming a people that want to be like Jesus? And together we'll do that by becoming a people of prayer. Let's do that together. Let's pray. God, you are good. And Lord, we thank you. You ask us to pour the desires of our hearts out to you. And Lord, I know this morning that there are those of us this morning that are dealing with things that are so painful, that are so hurtful, that are so deep, that are so raw. But Lord, I pray this morning that as we meet with you, as we pray in this very moment, That you would speak your grace, that you would speak your touch of healing, that you would speak your mercy into those situations. And however you are going to rectify those, however you're going to bring an answer or clarity to those, Lord, we will wait on you and we will wait because we know that you will answer. And Lord, we trust in your goodness. We trust in your mercy. And Lord, we simply want to meet with you this morning. And we simply want to leave this place as people who are changed because we have met with you. And we pray that you would do your thing within us apart from whatever answer is going to come. Lord, we thank you. You love us so much that you tell us to ask, to seek, to knock, and that you will respond. Lord, we thank you for how you've done that for Gail this morning. And Lord, we just pray that, Lord, as she looks forward, Lord, to a new set of lungs later today, we again are going to ask you, Lord, that that operation would be able to go through. We ask you that her body would be receptive. We pray that the doctor's hands would be guided and that it is a smooth surgery. And that, Lord, that Gail would have a quick and a whole recovery. That, Lord, she can too respond to that goodness of you. Lord, by dancing with joy with a fresh breath. Would you just be with her now as she wakes? Would you keep her calm? Would you be with her spirit, Lord? And as she lives in that abundant goodness of who you are, Lord, you could just see it in her. That, Lord, it would just bubble up within her at this very moment. And, Lord, as we look forward to that moment for her, Lord, we also think of the family that had great loss to make this possible. And we pray that you would touch them as well. That you would strengthen them and refresh them. And Lord, know that even in the midst of their deep loss, they've gave someone life. And we pray that too may speak words of comfort and words of joy to them. Lord, we pray for Dan, Lord, and Trix as Dan gets ready to come home. Lord, we pray that as he walks into this last week and he comes home, that transition would be smooth. We pray that, Lord, it would be a time for him to recover even more in the comfort of his own home. We pray that you would encourage him on this last leg of the journey before the new journey begins. That, Lord, these last couple days would be one of refreshment, one of peace, one of joy. And, Lord, we still are hopeful and anticipatory of a full and a complete recovery. But, Lord, we just pray that as he continues his rehab, or that more feeling would return, and that you would strengthen him, and that you would refresh him in Trixie's spirit, and that they too would be able to rest in your abundant goodness. Or do we want to remember Phil and Janetta? We want to pray for their work in Tanzania. Pray that you would use them, that you would open doors. We pray that the seeds of faith would not only be cast, but the harvest would be brought forth. We think of that, Lord, as we begin a new ministry season next week. We pray for that ministry kickoff, Lord. We pray that it would be a wonderful time of celebration of what you are doing in and through the life of this congregation. God, we want to pray for the leadership. We want to pray for the elders and the deacons of this church. We want to pray for boldness of vision. We want to pray for a deep sense of the moving of your spirit within them and our meetings together. We pray that we too would have that communion together with you. And that as we seek to lead this congregation, that we would do so in the power of faith. May we have the ears and the eyes to hear and to see where you are leading this congregation. And may we have the faith to take us down that path. Lord, thank you for your abundant goodness to us. And thank you that you always hear our prayers and that you long to bless. In your name we pray. Amen.